This week, three sides of the coin. We almost said that's it. We're done.
It's a show about nothing.
Oh, especially today.
Today was nothing.
Sorry. The tank is empty. That's all you got.
If you want to hear talk about Kiss, don't tune in.
I think we pushed us into the gas station, and that was it. Fumes, done. So we went and got some taquitos. That's it. Maybe a Pepsi. We're done.
I thought pretzel, cheese-filled pretzels or whatever it was that you
meatloaf.
Eat.
That one's beat to death.
All right. Well, you got to see what this is about. Stay tuned.
This is Three Sides of the Coin, talking all things Kiss.
I want to rock and roll all night.
You're listening to Three Sides of the Coin.
So you love the show. Go to itunes.threesidesofthecoin.com and leave your review and rating of Three Sides of the Coin. Thanks.
Everybody, welcome back to another Three Sides of the Coin. I am one of your three co-hosts, Michael Branville, and as always, there's Tommy Summers and Mark Cecchini.
Woohoo!
Okay, before we go anywhere, I know this is going to blow a few minds, but I got to show my new shirt for this week.
Okay.
Now,
you're the guy.
The back is even better. Can you see the back?
Drank the blue Kool-Aid.
Oh. I bought the one t-shirt that sold.
You're the guy.
I'm the guy that bought the one t-shirt that Izzy. These are from Izzy. Thank you, Izzy.
Yes.
I'm showing you some love, not under the table, but I bought your one t-shirt. And I think it's actually a pretty cool t-shirt. I like the simplicity of what was on the front and the back. I actually would have just taken it with the saying from the back, I drank the blue Kool-Aid. Maybe we steal that slogan and I trademark it for us to use. We could put that on a t-shirt and we could sell 1,000 of them where Izzy only sold one.
To the guy who's going to take the idea. No, the back of the shirt should say, no Peter, no Ace, no problem. That's what that should say.
Well, if I wore those, I'd get fucking... Well, next thing I know, I'd be getting kicked in the ass every other step. Yeah. Oh, well.
So, Izzy, very cool t-shirt. Yes. You know, I hope somebody else bought one. It's the same quality as our Thank God It's Tuesday shirt. So, well done, Izzy. It's a fun shirt. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Izzy's got a great Ace Frehley tribute band called ACK, which is where this is from. And they are going to be doing a show in L.A. sometime in mid-November. I don't recall the date off the top of my head, but it's going to be in Hollywood. So any of you that want information on that, let us know and we'll make sure we get that to you. And he's got different types of stars, musicians and whatnot coming out to play. So it should be pretty cool.
So you got Ace coming out?
I don't know. I guess you're going to have to go and find out.
Are you going to come out?
Hell, depends on timing. You know, it's like the later it goes, the harder it is. It's no different than doing the Kiss show, the convention. You know, flight prices just go through the roof.
Especially that time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see.
All right, so Tommy, have you got any comments you want to share?
Yeah, there was actually one
that... Find a couple of them. We could actually have... Okay. We could use up a few... Well, here, you read a comment, and I'll do the thing where I did a couple weeks ago as well.
Okay, all right. There's a couple of different ones that caught my eye, and one of them... Because it's been so long since we've talked about this. John Davey. And surprise, surprise, and this is under the New Jericho podcast. He's got an Ace Frehley question. He says, okay, Ace Frehley question. I think it's a combination of both. Obviously, being in a popular band gave Ace exposure, but his solos are what got so many to pick up the guitar. Crazy Nights question. No, not if it was... Wait a minute. Crazy Night question. No, not if it was for free. Okay, maybe if it was for free, I'd go with an Ace is God t-shirt.
John, we love you. God, I hope, John, I hope you bought one of these blue Kool-Aid t-shirts.
He should have.
You should have been given one for free. I don't know anybody who drinks more Kool-Aid than John does.
Yeah, and everyone seems to really like the new episode with Chris. And I apologize, we were just saying before we came on air, all three of us are absolutely burnt, and we almost decided not to do a show today, simply because with all the stuff we've been doing here over the last couple of days, and Mark's trying to get ready to get out of town to head out to the Kiss Cruise, we just are like, oh, God, what are we going to do? So this is going to be a mishmash.
We deserve a vacation, people.
I would say so.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like I could use one.
Okay, so any other comments you want to share?
Well, why don't you go ahead and I'll see if there's one
other one. So what I was going to do is I'm picking the Chris Jericho Spreaker post that went up yesterday about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm just going to start from the very top of the absolute most recent comment and just read them. Because I haven't even checked in on these yet, so I don't really know what's going on.
Funny, Mike, because there's one you're eventually going to get to it then, because there was one I wanted to mention. So, I'll
So the very top comment is from Danny Siegelman. Thank you, Danny. Danny's our good friend from Minneapolis.
Yep.
Exquisite taste.
He gave us a little write up in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Thank you. He said, "Okay, fine. I will sit down tonight and revisit Crazy Nights." And, gee, the follow-up comment to that was from Three Sides of the Coin, "Trust me, it's just as horrible as you remember." Signed, not Mike.
Perfect. I didn't even see that.
Okay, then Danny replies, "This is actually pretty good. Just spun it for the first time in a while. Sorry, but you were wrong. It's actually way worse than I remembered." And then Three Sides of the Coin replied again, "Amen, Danny." Again, signed, not Mike. I must have paid attention to this. I didn't remember it because here's my comment back to you guys. It says, "Both of you are banned."
I didn't get banned too bad. I'm still here today. So.
Yeah, Danny's really funny. Cool guy.
Maybe that was Tommy who wrote it because it is signed, not Mike. So you got to 50-50.
I missed that whole thing. No.
Anthony Britt did reply. He goes, "Crazy Nights is an excellent album. Maybe not the greatest production. The songs overall are very well written. Even Gene's songs are not that bad. Compare No 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 to most of Gene's retread Sonic Boom and Monster songs, and it's day and night. No 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 wins. Bruce is spectacular. Eric's solid, and Paul delivers one of his best vocal performances." Spot on, Anthony.
Would you look at the time?
Can't skip late.
Boy, Anthony's then got the next comment where he goes, "Can you do this every week? Jericho's chemistry with you all is awesome." Here's a hidden comment. I wonder why that's hidden.
We're going to save that one for After Dark?
I don't know. Let's
see. I'm worried about the video you're going to send back.
That's right. I can't wait to see that. Let's see if there's anything else here. Sean Sneed just finished listening to the episode, and it was awesome. Can't wait to watch it tomorrow on YouTube. And you guys have a great chemistry with Chris, and it really had that feel of buddies sitting around at a bar or home talking Kiss and just having fun. Great fun episode. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a grand slam. Great job, guys, and a fantastic episode.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, he's a nice guy too. We've chatted back and forth a couple times.
Yeah.
We have the coolest listeners in the world. We really do.
Listeners and what, 15 fans?
Yeah, 16. There is someone vying for the 16th.
There's a lot of interest in having Jericho become the new co-host.
Mm-hmm.
It means I got to sit down and think of which one of you two Weisenheimers to kick to the curb.
No, wait a second, though. No, it doesn't necessarily mean that at all.
Yeah, it
could
does.
Very well be you're going to draw the short
show.
Straw.
Yeah.
So
ask any one of our listeners.
All 16 of them. Also, too, Stephen Connolly brought up a good point, too, talking about the ace question again. For the ace question, I would have to say that it was both luck that he was in Kiss and that he was a great guitar player. He brought the solos in, not many of the he brought the solos in, not many of the songs. He gave those songs the extra juice Blue Kool-Aid in those songs, and that's what made all those crazy guitar players now, myself included. So, you know, there's someone who was influenced by him, not just by the look, but also by what he, you know, played.
There.
Okay.
Okay. Now what do we, now what do we talk about?
I want to talk about the tribute band. Oh, it's Kurt Gooch. Should we get him on live?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Kurt? Kurt? Hey, you're on on Three Sides. Huh?
There we go. I can hear you now. Yeah. How's it going?
Good. You're on Three Sides.
Hi, Kurt.
Right now?
Yeah, we're taping. Say hello to Michael and Mark.
Hey, Kurt.
Hey, guys. I was calling to see if there was a new episode this week.
Well, we're working on it right now. You got any ideas of what we should talk about? No, you got any ideas of what we should talk about?
Yeah, actually, yes. Talk about the influence of Scooby-Doo, because my 3-year-old son, as I mentioned to you, is actually kiss crazy because of Scooby-Doo. My 3-year-old knows Is That You? He knows Shandy. He watches Kiss bootlegs on YouTube like he's an addict. And sadly, I'm going to have to go to a Kiss concert because of him. There's no way I cannot take him because he loves it that much.
Tommy, ask him if his
Scooby-Doo thing was a massive game changer, and I don't know if anybody has quite realized it. Yeah, I've actually been thinking I should call Keith and tell him because I don't know if they even know about it.
They probably don't. Hold on, Mike has a question.
Ask Kurt if his 3-year-old knows the difference between Ace Frehley or Tommy Thayer.
Oh, okay. Does your son know the difference between Ace Frehley or Tommy Thayer?
Well, I haven't bothered to tell him about Eric Singer or Tommy Thayer. But he knows Ace Frehley, he knows Spaceman. He knows all 4 original guys named plus Eric. And he knows the difference between the cat man and the fox. And this week, for some reason, he's been watching the Is That You countdown thing over and over and over again, the little like lip-sync version of Is That You countdown 80.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, he doesn't, yeah, I'm not teaching him the bad stuff yet.
The bad stuff? Ask him if his son wants to come on the show and be a guest.
All right. Mike wants to know if you think your son is ready to come on the show and be a guest.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, cool. Well, I'll call you later, all right?
Okay, great.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Kurt.
There
See,
you go.
We never know what's going to happen on this show.
You don't. You just don't. But no, and we were talking about that, I don't know, a week or so ago, and he was telling me that very exact thing. He's like, I can't keep my kid off of YouTube, and he wants to watch these Kiss videos all the time because of Scooby-Doo. And, you know, I'm curious if they are actually aware of how big of a possible game changer it was and how many kids now are exposed to that band that would never have been exposed, because it's almost like being a kid all over again back in their, you know, mid-70s. You know,
I know I've seen a few posts by some of our listeners on Facebook saying that their young daughter or son really got interested in Kiss because of Scooby-Doo. They're just hooked on that Scooby-Doo. They thought it was so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why that whole thing we discussed quite some time ago of like the Paul Lynde Halloween special versus Dancing with the Stars, or, you know, choose one of the newer things, can have just as much of an impact.
Maybe Scooby-Doo was the Paul Lynde moment for some fans here.
I'm guessing it is, especially with kids that young, you know.
I'll have to put it on for my daughter and see if she cares.
Right. Yeah. See what happens. Use her as an experiment.
That's what the kids are for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if this will work. You know?
You got a Rocksteady shirt on?
Yeah.
Oh, is that from Bryn?
That's, Yeah, it's Bren's company. Yeah, a coin gave it to him before he passed away.
Nice.
So Bren releases all of the Odd Father's music and everything else he's going to do moving forward through Rocksteady. So if anybody wants to get a t-shirt, they are online and they are for sale. So just let us know and we'll put the link up. Because they are. They're really cool. Just says Rocksteady Records on it.
Mark, what are you doing?
Printing off my cruise documents.
Jesus Christ.
There's only one thing on Mark's mind right now, and that's getting to Miami.
Yeah. He's already checked out.
He really has. So,
I tell you what. You know what? You have no fucking idea what a crazy way. You know what? We're gonna go off the grid just for a second. Last week, I had some legal stuff I had to do, and I did very well with it. So, yeah, last week was a really great day. But preparing for this large lawsuit that I was involved in, which I won, I've been so backlogged on stuff. And I'm like, you guys know I'm a contractor, so I have to go. I've been like all over the state in the last couple of days. And I have to get everything ready for the cruise. And you guys know I own my own business. I'm going to be gone for a week. I got guys going out of town. It's just go, go, go. So my wife says to me, did you print our documents yet? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I did.
Out after the fact. Let me ask you a question about that without getting into too much detail. But I forgot to ask you this when we were talking about it last week. So Mark won his lawsuit, which is awesome because he should have. Shame on the guy that he had to take to court. But now that you've secured a victory, how does one collect?
28 days. And if I don't get my checky poo by then we go through the courts for garnishment. But without getting too into it, it's business to business. So it's not like you'd garnish somebody's wages or anything like that. I'd have to get the court back involved. He's got 28 days to appeal. Okay, if you ever win a lawsuit, the other side has they can appeal. But to appeal on a judgment where there was, where everything was cut and dry, my winning was cut and dry. So the appeal, for him to appeal, would kind of be stupid because you have to go back before the judge who issued the ruling. And
oh, so you get the same judge.
Yes. And the judge in my case basically had to berate the guy
The judge said, do you know who Mark Cecchini is?
have you not seen Three Sides of the Coin?
But to make a long story short, it was I did some work for some guy, and it was pretty large amount of money. And
are the winnings going to be invested into the collection?
The winnings are going to be invested into making
things. Are they going to be invested into a suit from Bob Gruen, maybe?
That's what I was thinking. Where that's the urgency right there.
No. I've got some equipment upgrades that I have to do here.
Have you talked to Bob about the suit?
This is something off the air, gentlemen.
Ah, got it. So, and before I forget, yesterday I promised your wife I would ask you how the Monday Moaning went.
Always good. The overweight lovers announced, babe.
I love it. Every Monday she posts Monday Moaning, and I go, way to go, Mark.
My lovely and talented actually made, we had meatloaf last night for dinner.
Ooh, were they leftovers tonight, maybe?
You know what? Look where I'm at. This is not the hallowed confines of the Kiss Empire East. I'm at work. So, matter of fact, because Alyssa, I think, she's going to get her nails done or something done. And
something done. You know, those women, they're always getting something done.
Yeah, I got hair or nails or whatever. So she's like, oh, you can have your leftovers tonight. So I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, cool. I was all excited. And I'm like, fuck, I ain't leaving work for another couple of hours. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to record. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to print these documents. I'm like, I got so much shit going on.
Did she serve it to you in the shape of a foot? Because I gave her that idea.
She thought that was as disgusting as I thought.
Oh, absolutely. I didn't say it wasn't disgusting. Though.
She did take a picture of me as she served it. I mean, it was steaming hot. It was awesome.
Actually, I think I might be getting meatloaf this week.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about meatloaf is that she bought it, and then we're like, all right, we can have it for dinner for tomorrow night. And if the, and trust me, it's all going to be gone tonight. And she made homemade mashed potatoes too, which totally fucking ruled. So we ate very well last night. Keep in mind, we're empty nesters. Our kids are, my one son graduated. I only have one son. Graduated college, and my daughter's.
So you guys were like eating meatloaf and mashed potatoes naked on the couch.
I will tell you, when
is
you.
Is it a smear fest?
I will tell you both, because both of you guys haven't witnessed the luxury of the empty nester stuff. The empty nester stuff.
I took it the opposite way. I took empty nesting up to the later part of life, and now I filled my nest up. So I enjoyed it when you guys were all miserable.
Oh, I've never been miserable. Are you kidding me? Well, yeah, tell you what, my kids went to the KISS conventions. We did. I tell you what, that's a cool little thing too. I remember leaving my house in the Detroit area with $200, drove to one of Peter Arquette's KISS conventions, sold all my stuff. Now, keep in mind, my kids were one. My daughter at the time was probably just in a bouncy or in a car seat. My son was probably 5 or 4, and drove down to Orlando, took the kids to Disney, drove to my parents' house in Tampa, spent a whole week in Florida, drove back to Detroit with $200 in my pocket. So that's how much fun it was, and you know, and how profitable.
You lived off the KISS fans.
Yes, I did. That was those were great days, man. And I'll never forget, we got back home, I'm like, fuck, I got $200. That's what I left with.
It's like going to Vegas and not coming home broke.
I know. That was exactly it. You know what? We went down there. We stayed in, if I remember, we didn't stay in the regular hotel with the convention. This would have been, matter of fact, I think this would have been 95. So my son would have only been, he would have only been 3 then. I remember going to, I think Peter Chris was the guest that year. I can't remember. Anyways, it's all a blur. But, I mean, I remember the trip going down there and just how cool the KISS conventions were. And it's funny. I even remember there was a guy from Australia there selling stuff. And I remember that was the convention that I got my my elder KISS Army kit complete was from a guy that was there from Australia. And I remember trading him because I didn't pay for it. We traded. I remember, to me, it was like real common stuff, but he wanted all this stuff from America, and you know what I mean? And I was like doing backflips because at that time I'd love to see that. I think I showed it on one.
I'd love to see you doing backflips.
You know, I got a hockey game now. Let's see what I can do. That's another thing. I got a game.
It's meatloaf.
Yeah, I got so much to do, you know. Ugh, it's nuts. Well, I mean, it's funny. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, each one of us is just fucking drained, and I apologize if you guys are watching going, you guys can talk about any KISS stuff? No, probably not today.
Something. It's got a remote relationship to KISS, but listen, like Tommy said, we almost pulled the plug and took the week off, and we thought, no, let's just chat for a little bit.
Yeah. We're not – don't expect any two-hour extravaganza today. It ain't fucking happening.
So, Tommy, you went to a tribute band show, though.
Yeah, on Friday night. And I just want to talk a little bit about that and supporting local music in general. Watching them go through the hell they went through to try to put this show on. There was a thing in town over the weekend. I think it was called Crypticon. So it's like chiller out on the East Coast with a bunch of B-movie stars, a couple of semi-A-listers, whatever. And it's people, you know, it's like a convention, KISS convention, but they sell horror stuff. And so they had 2 or 3 bands that night also playing. And the last band that played was this new one here in town, Kissin' Time 74, which is Rick Schwinden's band. And I just watched the hell that Rick went through to try to put this thing on. And just the fact that it actually happened was an absolute miracle. So he's in the band with Anthony Wright, who also watches our show, and then also to Pete Campbell, who is the drummer for Pentagram. So he's touring nationally. All nice people, and the new guy, John. So 4 days before the show happens, the original bass player just kind of up and quit on him, you know, after they had all this stuff mapped out. And so they had to rush to make it happen. And it turned out great. It was a little rough around the edges, like we discussed. because I only got to practice four times. But it really made me appreciate how much effort goes into the local musicians playing for people, because they didn't walk away with a ton of money. And I don't believe that most of the local artists that play at the bars on Fridays and Saturday nights make much money either. And it just reminded me to make sure to tell everybody, hey, get out there and support local music and get out there and support the KISS tribute bands and stuff when they come to your town. Because if you don't, they won't keep coming back. You have to get out there and be a supporter. So just DVR whatever you're going to watch on Friday or Saturday night and get out of your house and go down and
see some
live music.
Wait. Unless you watch us on Friday nights, then stay in and watch us.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, I'm talking about other stuff. But get out there and support people, because it's like I said, it was a miracle that they pulled it off. It was a lot of fun. They did a great job, and I hope they play again. And there's other, you know, obviously we know there are other tribute bands from around the country.
What was this tribute band's, did they have an angle? Was there something different or unique about them?
Well, yeah, and that was part of the battle that we've been discussing for the longest time, because this bass player who quit, who thinks he is the leader of the band, first off named it Rock and Roll All Night, which to me is just as dumb as it gets. That's just stupid. And he wanted to play hits. And Rick and the other guys were like, no, we want to stay early. So they're trying to give you an early 70s KISS club experience. Like when you went and saw Rush as they worked their way backwards, the way they worked it out, you could actually kind of see what it must have been like to see them in a high school gymnasium. So they don't do anything past 1975, and they try to dress in the earlier outfits. And so they go deep into the catalog, and it's great because I think it's a different angle versus playing Love Gun and all that, which that's fine. If you're recreating that era, you should be doing that. But I don't know of any other band that, or cover band, I should say, that's doing the early 70s KISS stuff. And it's just a lot of fun to hear Lover All I Can and some of these other things live that you don't always get to hear. And you could see what it must have been like to see him in a gymnasium. It was just, I don't know, I thought the experience was really cool, what they're trying to pull off.
Did they pull out one or two songs where you were like, holy cow, there's a deep cut?
No, because I don't think they had the time. That was the intention. But they had to cut so much of their set because of this bass player leaving, you know? And so they got another guy in. His name is Joe. Really nice guy. Never met him before. Don't know his last name.
Has he been in a KISS tribute band before?
No, he had never done that. And they put him in the Gene Simmons outfit that they had, an extra one, which was a Love Gun outfit. That's all they had last minute.
I saw he had on the Spencer's slippers.
Yeah. Actually, no. That was a costume that was made for... There was a guy apparently at one point that was making the real costumes, like it's in leather, it's the whole nine yards, and the boots, that was, I don't know where they came from, but I don't think they're the Spencers, but yeah, they're obviously a little bit too big, but yeah. That's all they had at the time. So I know that if they can get more rehearsals in and get some gigs here locally, we'll start to hear some of those songs where like, wow, I didn't expect to hear that. You know, because Rick and I have talked about this. He wants to do Let Me Know and Strange Ways and all this other stuff, mainline, pick one, you know, and do a really cool experience that you don't always get to see. So it just got me thinking, you know, get out there and support them. There's a great tribute band in Milwaukee as well that I've got to get out and see at Matthew Schroeder is involved in, that's really, really cool looking. And they recreate the Love Gun era, which is awesome, whatever you're going to do, but get out there and be supportive, even of other local musicians. And I would think, Mark, you'd be on board with that.
Yeah, well, I mean, as far as a couple things, you know, anybody who gets off their ass and goes and plays in a band, they're putting their heart and soul out there. I mean, and it's so much more entertaining to go see a live band, I think, than to... For me, I still like doing all that kind of stuff. And those guys who do the tribute bands, they all work hard. I tell you, I have a couple good friends that play in KISS tribute bands. And you know what? Those guys bust their ass for their audience. My only problem with the tribute bands in general is all the backbiting they do about one another.
I'm right there with you. From day one of running Kiss Online in 98, that was the first thing that I became exposed to, was like, holy crap, would you tribute bands just stop with the nitpicking of each other and who's better and who's... It's like, let's be real. You're a tribute band. You're not Kiss. So knock the egos down a little bit and let's just have fun.
I agree. You know, I've had this discussion with some of my friends that are in tribute bands, and, you know, maybe we could maybe have one or two of them on later on somewhere down the line. I know we've talked about it before. But yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, these guys come out, they spend a ton of money, and, you know, they put on a good show for everybody. Most tribute bands are pretty good, you know. I don't know. I'm not much of a covers band. I still like going to see bands that play their original music. You know, that's just what I like. I like to go to a club and see a band up there trying to, I don't know, play some stuff that you might want to buy or you might want to.
Well,
you know.
I don't have an issue with that. Even if it's a national act, get out there and support them. I don't care. Go and see whatever it is that you like, you know, but just get, because, you know, there's a local band here called Arena. And they've been at it forever, and all four of them are just incredible musicians. And Cheryl and I love to go and see them. Now, they're doing mostly covers, but they are working on their very first original LP or CD. And we go out and see them, and they're not as well known on the south side of town as they are in the north, but we'll go out and see them, and they'll maybe have 100 people in the bar on a Friday night. And it's just like, what the hell? Where are all you people? That place should be packed.
Tommy, let me stop you right there. There's no scene. Maybe I dig out some old stuff. I was in a band. I'm not home to show you. The band I was in through the 80s, if you guys remember Metal Shop?
Yep.
We won their best unsigned band, and I still have my contract from them and all that stuff, and we did pretty well. And the band I'm in now, we've got 5 CDs out. And, you know, it's at this age and at this time, you play to have fun, and you know, we do pretty well when we play. We've got a lot of friends and, you know, some people who dig our music and it's fun. But I mean, there's no scene, and I'll give you a great example. Both of you seen the Decline of the Western Civilization movie? Well, Seduce was from Detroit. Okay. Now, a band I love, and if you've ever heard that band, if you're familiar with the movie, they're just a great hard rock and metal band. One of my favorite bands of all time, actually. I love them. I was a big fan of theirs. We used to open for them a lot. But my point is this. They'd play at a place called Blondie's here in Detroit, which was just a little club. And then they go play at Harpo's the following weekend. And then they go play at the Ritz the following weekend. The thing is, Blondie's was packed. Harpo's was packed. Ritz was packed. Now, when they were playing at Blondie's to a packed club, there was a band called the Almighty Strut. They were at Harpo's playing to the packed. My point was, every club was always packed. And there was a scene. So no matter when you went to the club, the place was packed. The problem like my band has now is we only have a couple bars that we play at because two things. Number one, we do very well there, so they're happy to have us back. And number two, we can't go to other bars that weren't playing original music at one time. It's hard to take a band that does almost all originals and to try to shop yourself because they're just not interested and they don't even want to give you a chance because they want to see what songs you're going to play. They want to know what kind of, you know, dance. It's the old thing, dance. They want to see, make sure people know. They want you to be the background, whereas, you know, I like to go see bands that are presenting themselves as a band you'd want to follow or you'd want to get into. You know, for all the down part of it, though, the good part is you can throw stuff up on YouTube. I mean, there's so many other ways to market yourself. I'm now, you know, out of the game, per se, of trying to, you know, sell music. But I sure like writing music. I've written hundreds of songs. And like I said, back in the 80s, I did pretty good convincing a national radio program that we were one of the best bands that no one's heard of. So that was pretty cool.
You know, besides no scene, I think the big thing, though, is there's a lot more alternatives.
It's ridiculous
on any
how many
given night, and meaning not alternatives like other bands or other bars, because obviously that's not the case, but you're competing against the internet and Netflix and video
games. Three sides of the coin.
Three sides of the coin and movies. And, you know, think back to the 70s and when you wanted to get together with your friends, what were your choices of what to do? Pretty much listen to music. Video games weren't around. Cable TV wasn't around. You could go to a movie, but, you know, you're not going to a movie every night of the week. You might go there on a weekend, ride your bikes there. Hell, I remember we used to ride our bikes and go to the library. That was one of the things we'd do on a Saturday afternoon, is go hang out in a library for 3 hours looking at books. You move into the 80s, and now you've got a little more distraction, but you still didn't have, you know, there still was not a lot to take you away from going to see bands.
Right.
Now, by now, 2015, there are so many choices of what you can do for entertainment.
Well, I tell you what, just meeting members of the opposite sex, too, it was great. That was a great time in the 80s. But you know what we have now? You have, with the internet, people, they want to hook up or what? You didn't have that in the 80s.
You don't have to go to a bar to meet people anymore.
Correct.
You can just go hang out on Facebook and chat.
Loves meatloaf, loves to dance.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, and I'm just looking at it from the perspective, and everything you guys are saying is dead on accurate. I just look at it like, you know, if you are a lover of music, you got to at least get out there once a month and support someone. And when you see something special come through town, like a Kiss tribute band or Van Halen or whomever, get out there and support them. Because here's the odd thing, though, to your argument, Mark. I agree with the new music and stuff, but that's kind of all taken a back seat. But then if you take Hairball, which is a local band here that they do, you know, they kind of cover all the big bands. We've discussed it before.
There's one in every city, Tommy, that does all. We have one here.
But
in
they're packed.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
They will sell more tickets than a national touring act. So that means that someone likes it because they're out there.
Oh, I'm not saying it's bad.
I know you're not.
Because we have, and I will not say their name because they were dicks to us once. There's a band here in Detroit that does all the covers. And they, you know, they put on the wigs, and they, you know, to me, that's just so, once again, it's a lot like that band that's going to be on the cruise.
Steel Panther.
I just think it's stupid. And as a musician and as someone who writes songs and someone who, I didn't learn this craft to go play Bon Jovi songs. You know what I mean?
Right.
To me, it meant something to me. So I'd rather write and record and play my own stuff. And just be happy, because I am happy. I'm the band I've been in now, I've been in for 12 years. And like I said, we played with Wasp. We played with, you know, Crocus. And matter of fact, we opened for Twisted Sister and played with Sebastian Bach, played with just a ton of, put it this way, just about every 80s guy that on the way down we opened for him.
by the way, somebody had a great suggestion that Chris should become the co-host and replace Mark, and Mark can go start a Wasp podcast.
I saw that. I think that's a great idea.
Way to think it out.
Leave now.
Way to think it out, people. That's the type of commenting we like. Don't just say kick Mark to the curb. Tell us why and what he should do.
Where should we put him? Yeah, but see, I'll defend the Hairball thing in the respect that I, you know, nicest bunch of guys you'd ever want to meet, and that is like my wife's favorite.
But you know,
go and see new music.
You know what you will get, and this is what's crazy though. You love Hairball, but the next fan and the next band will say, "Don't go frickin' support those bands doing cover tunes. If you're gonna go support live original music. Support the bands that are trying to do something new and original." I've seen it so many times. It's like, all right, well, I can't just support music. I'm only supposed to support the ones that are writing the original tunes. If you're doing covers, you're taking people away from going to see the original band. And at the end of the day, my attitude is just support music. And I don't care how that is. If you can't get out to a club, buy the album. If you don't want to buy the album, buy the T-shirt, buy the video, buy a ticket, buy something.
Or just give it away. We give these away at our shows.
What's the name of the band?
Left 4 Dead.
I was shocked. Really?
Yeah.
I thought for sure you'd name it 1 Pound Cock, but.
Right. Yeah, it's our last two CDs. So. Yeah, I mean,
Tommy, it's too bad you and I have never heard that music.
Yeah. You know, what are you going
to
do?
He gives them away for free to everybody but us.
Because he knows,
and then uses our show to promote his band.
That's how he rolls. Like I said, you know what? It's fun, and you know, we do a few covers, but we try and really twist them up and do them our way. Now, keep in mind, you know, we're just a hard rock band. In the same vein as the one we get pigeonholed all the time is like Kiss and Aerosmith. That's the type of music that we play. That's the type of music I love the most. You know what right. I mean? So, I mean, I see a lot of sometimes because I do most of our booking. I just try and tell these people, like, don't come here and play screamo or thrash metal or, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I want, like you said about your wife, Tommy, we like to have bands open where our wives don't want to run for the door because the guy's fucking screaming in the mic. You know what I mean? But that's getting harder to find if you have younger bands. A lot of the younger bands really want to do some of the screamo. And, you know, I've had some friends come out before, and I remember having screamo bands on before us if we were doing like a 5-band night. Fuck, people are running for the fucking door. You know, I'll never understand that genre of music. I mean, I understand that people like it, but there's not a redeeming value for me out of.
But you know, it works for some people. The hardest part for me is if I think back on all of the opening acts that I've seen that have opened for major concerts that I've gone to, I can put all the ones that I thought didn't suck on one hand. You know, and I would say to this day still, 38 Special was one of the first or best opening acts I've ever seen. I didn't know any of their music, but it was like one song after the next. I'm like, oh, this is good, this is good. And that's how I viewed someone like Cheap Trick. How can you not like it? So many of the other bands, I just don't think they have the substance. So for me, I'm very hesitant to go see something that's not a covers band, just simply because of the fact that I'm guessing, and it's probably wrong, that their stuff may not be very good. You know, if they're a national touring act, I'll give it a shot. But I would say 95% of the time, I'm disappointed.
Fair enough. You know? When we go to Florida, my parents have a house in the Tampa area. We go see this one band down there. They play covers, but they really play them kind of oddball-y, kind of the way we do in a way. And we've gone and seen them the last couple times we were down there. My wife's friends with somebody who's friends in the band, and we follow them online. And when we're down there, because they play just about every weekend, when we're down there, we go see them. So I like the experience of going to a club. I like the experience of seeing bands and hearing stuff. Look, I don't need to hear Living on a Prayer again, mostly by people who can't sing it. And I know, like Bon Jovi, I'm just picking on Bon Jovi because I'm not a Bon Jovi fan.
Oh, I could go the rest of my life and never hear Sweet Child of Mine again. But I swear to God, every time a band plays it, the dance floor fills up. And that's what the bar owners want.
Well, that's what I mean. That's where I'm lucky in the fact that I've been playing for as long as I have. I know, you know, some of the bar owners and some of the promoters, and they know we're going to put feet under the seats, as they say. And we play music that, you know, there's, like I said, it's a great example. You know, picture people standing up front, you know, watching.
Stop showing your album here, dude.
My point is we get people to come out and we have fun, you know. And that's what the whole thing is that we go out there, we have fun, and we hope that the people come and we have fun, you know. And that's it. There's no more. There's no, you know, trying to be a rock star or trying to make $1 million. It's just something that I still like to do. And eventually, it's going to go away. And that just is what it is. But as far as, like you said, the whole covers thing, it just doesn't do anything for me personally. It's a personal thing.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with it. You know, right. Obviously there's way more successful bands that play covers and, you know, tribute bands and stuff. But like I said, you know, a few minutes ago, that's not why I learned how to play drums.
Let's wrap up this infomercial for Mark's band.
Will you stop?
But even with new material, look at the Odd Fathers. They're one of the greatest bands I've heard to come out in I don't even know how long. And it's not just because Brent and I are friends. I love the songs. And
it's not because you produced one of them.
No, it has nothing to do with it either. But it's just kind of like they should be packing the clubs.
It's not because he gave you that T-shirt.
No, not at all.
You know what? I've never heard any of their music before. I got to check it out.
They're kind of like a mix between Cheap Trick and the Sex Pistols.
Oh, then I'd love it. I love both of those.
Oh, yeah, you would love it. I'll send you the stuff so you can hear it. It's really good. But the point is that there's a band who actually has really good writing skills, you know, really good melody, good songs, and it's still like pulling teeth to get to
be. You should have the Odd Fathers come on and do a live set for a show.
That'd be cool. Great.
Make it happen, Tommy. You're kind of the manager, aren't you?
No, I don't want that kind of trouble. It's much easier just to kind of stand by the side and let things happen.
Take your free T-shirts and smile.
Yep, exactly.
I know him. Over 45 minutes today.
Yeah, this one ran a little long. All right, so I've got a couple homework ideas here.
Oh, hold on. Before you get that, I did want to mention one comics I thought was great. Scott Eric McClure. This was awesome. This made my day today because I said I was so stressed out today. He wrote, "I am so thankful for once that there are actually other Kiss fans out there, not so stuck on Ace and Peter. Kiss fans who actually listen to the songs that Kiss, regardless of era, write. Thank you so much, Mike, Mark, and Tommy, for existing and doing these episodes." And to tell you the absolute, the absolute truth, and I know you guys are sitting through this today going, boy, that's kind of a shitty episode. Look, we weren't going to do anything today. Honest to God, that's the one that said, you know what, fuck it. They, you know, people enjoy checking shit out on Tuesday. We'll do something half hour, 45 minutes. Hopefully it got you through your homework or your whatever you were doing today. For people like you, Scott, that's, you know.
Honest to God, it is those comments like that make us go smile and go, you know, not that what we're doing is hard work. So don't think we're acting that way, but it does make it all worthwhile when we get those comments from fans going, you know, I remember somebody just posted, I skip out of work early every day on Tuesdays to go listen to you guys. And I'm just like, that's a freaking honor that somebody does that. It's an honor that Scott feels that way. I mean, we're just three friends chatting about it, one of our favorite bands. That's it. And to
Leopard Dead?
You know, you should just bleep it out and put a black bar over it when he holds the CD up. Fucker. He's in the middle of a great point.
I've never even mentioned it. I'm not a pub boy.
He gives out CDs to everybody else. Oh. Not us. Not the owners of the show.
But I want to say we read all of those comments, and so please don't ever be misled if we don't respond. It's just we get so many coming from so many different places now that it's kind of hard to keep up, but we do read them and we do appreciate them. And when you guys write that stuff, it makes us all feel good. So thank you because we're doing this for fun. We really are. And we appreciate your loyalty and we appreciate you staying with us and spending some of your day. So we do. We really do appreciate it.
So, because this turned into Mark's episode,
oh, jeez,
the homework I think would be appropriate if it's related to Mark. So, I've got two potential questions. One, if you were to name Mark's band, what would it be?
You know what I would have called it.
And two, if you were to write a personals ad that Mark put online to find a significant other, what would his ad say?
Well, that's nice. That's good. Absolutely. And thirdly, on a serious note, I'd like to know, do you go out and support local music?
Yes, of course.
You know?
I want to read those Mark personal ads.
Yeah, let's do a Mark personal ads or a Zeusk.
Get creative. Keep it. Try and keep it clean, people. Yes. But get creative. I want to know what Mark's online personal ad would look like.
Well, that's brilliant.
Where's Chris? He's gonna have something.
And you know what we'll do is we'll take the submissions and we'll have Mark's wife judge them. Which one would have worked?
I tell you what. Our next recording time is when I'm going to be in Miami. So she should be nearby, and she gets. I don't know about. And we've talked about this numerous times. We need to do the spouse episode.
Yeah, we do.
My wife, let me tell you, because my wife's funnier than hell, and she would just, she'd love to tear into some of this stuff. So, like I said, this is going to air. I'll be in Miami just off the Kiss Cruise when this one airs. And
if we're lucky, Mark will be joining us poolside next week.
Yes, yes. You know what? I'm going shirtless, too.
You don't want to miss next week, then. When we record next week, that's something we're all going to want to see.
I may have a few.
Speak for yourself.
Are you kidding me? The moobs are in the house, baby.
The moobs.
That and crack a man. I can't wait.
Oh, dead sexy.
All right, you guys got your homework. You know where to go. Facebook.com/ThreeSidesOfTheCoin. ThreeSidesOfTheCoin.com, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud. Leave us comments. We love to read them. We love to hear from you. It honest God, it makes us laugh. It makes us smile.
Yeah, it's going to be 54 minutes of my life I can't get back is what it's going to be after this episode.
I'm sure everyone will feel that way.
Yeah, where do I send the bill? You're going to bill us for it.
And if you want to buy a copy of Left 4 Dead, contact Mark.
Everybody wants one. They're great. Actually, to tell you the truth, that's my last box, so I only have a couple. That's probably why I only have a few left. These ones are from a couple years ago, so.
I wouldn't know.
I know you.
All right, guys, that's it. We're out of here. Three sides.
Bye.
Take three sides of the coin with you anywhere. Download your 5-star rated free smartphone app today and listen on your Android or Apple smartphone. Visit android.threesidesofthecoin.com or ios.threesidesofthecoin.com. Want to get your official Three Sides of the Coin logo and shocker tee? Now you can. We ship worldwide. Get yours online at shop.threesidesofthecoin.com.
For interviews and media inquiries, contact Izzy at izzypresleyproductions.com.
Download your free copy of the KISS School of Marketing.
11 lessons I learned working with KISS.
The number one downloaded business book on noise trade. Go to books.noisetrade.com/Michael Brandvold.
You're listening to Three Sides of the Coin.
So you love the show. Go to itunes.threesidesofthecoin.com and leave your review and rating of Three Sides of the Coin. Thanks.